Good morning. Welcome to a fine, wonderful Sunday. I'm so glad that you've come to worship. I'm so glad you're here. It is a great day to be in the house of God. It's Christmas time. I mean, it's a cool time of year. I just love this time of year. Now, this passage that we talked about this morning, this passage that you read, it's got the Magi, and they're coming to see Jesus. Now, I've had an exciting event happen in my life. At Thanksgiving, I went up to see my daughter in Reno. And when I went to see my daughter in Reno, she handed me a card. Anybody in here ever get a Thanksgiving card? I've never gotten a Thanksgiving. I've never gotten one in my life, okay? So I'm like, okay, Thanksgiving card. Okay, it's my daughter. I love her anyway. So she gives me this card, and it's it feels like it's got something in it, right? Okay, so I'm the practical guy of the house. I want to get to the bottom of the package, okay? So I open up the card and I shake the card, and there's nothing in the card. The card's got one of these pop-outs, okay? And so I open the card and I look at the card and I'm going, okay, that's great. And then she goes, read it. Yeah, I forgot to read the card. Did you ever open a card just to get what was in it, not what was on the outside of it? Okay? So, on the front of the card, it says, Happy Thanksgiving, Grandfather. And I went, oh! I missed it entirely, okay? And she filmed the whole thing. They laughed about that for hours, okay? But I'm going to be a grandpa in July. I'm really excited about it. Really excited about it. What a wonderful gift. Okay, what a wonderful gift. Now, I don't know about you, but if, and I've had babies, but I've not had people ride into town with about 50 or 60 people, walk up to my door, knock on my door and said, do you have a child? And go, oh, here, have some gold, have some frankincense, have some myrrh. That's not happened in my lifetime. It's just not been there. I've not had that event. This event is a big event for Mary and Joseph. And there's a lot of reasons for the event. I mean, when you look at the gifts that they brought, there's purposes in each gift. Mary and Joseph are going to have to move a bit. Gold comes in handy when you got to go across borders. Okay? You got to go to new places. Gold is really nice. They gave the gift. Okay? Myrrh talks a lot about, it's a funeral ointment. It talks about what's going to go on with Christ later. But they come and they give these gifts, and it's not like God is not going to make his son known to the world. He's going to make his son known to the world, that he is coming to this world. But Mary and Joseph are not kingly people. They're just ordinary folks. And as you read the Christmas stories and look at the Christmas stories, this is the one that I like, because these are ordinary folks going through an extraordinary time, an extraordinary moment, an extraordinary thing. Now, I don't know about you, but I love gifts, and I love to get gifts, and I love to open gifts. I love to that whole Christmas time going gift giving, okay? Anybody spend any time in Walmart on Thanksgiving night? I was at Walmart on Thanksgiving night. You know what my purpose to go to Walmart is? I stand in the line. So if you've ever been at one of these major places where everybody else goes shop, I stand in line. Okay? And I phone call them. You know, 10 minutes till we're done. Okay? We're done. We're done here in a minute. But there's a purpose for us when we go on Thanksgiving or go the day after, they call it Black Friday. We go shopping. The reason we go shopping on those 2 days is because they're giving away stuff. Okay, and it's stuff that we want to give away. So we'll go and get, and we got silly stuff. I don't understand my wife shopping, but she's really good at it, so I leave her alone. You know, what we got at Target was towels. They were $1.74 each, okay? It's what she wanted to get, because she wanted to make sure she got some towels for people, okay? We did get a TV. They had this 32-inch TV somewhere at Walmart. But she didn't get it for us. She got it for somebody else. I stood in line so that she could give it to her brother, who's going to give it to, I don't know how, but he's going to give it to somebody else. The season is fun for my wife because she loves shopping. She likes to get out there and find the right gift. Now, she's at that driven crazy moment because Christmas isn't far away. It's about a week away from Christmas, right? And she's at the crazy moment. I don't have anything for anybody. I don't know what to get everybody. She's just at that place. I don't think gifts are supposed to be like that. I think gifts are what you give from your heart to everybody. And it doesn't have to be big. It has to be something that kind of means something along the way. And as we enter this season and truly go through this season, I want you to take a look at your gift giving in unique ways. Now, these men that came to Mary and Joseph, they came from a long way away. And they had this one purpose. And this one purpose was to give these gifts and to celebrate the newborn king. Now, they drove into Jerusalem and said hello to the king who was currently there. And that was Herod. And the king who was currently there didn't have a baby. So they had to go look elsewhere because, you know, the newborn king should have been the king's child, but it wasn't. And they followed that star and they found this baby and they brought these gifts for this child. And as you enter this season, think about your gift giving and think about your gift giving with God and think about your gift giving with people. What is the message that you want to deliver this year? What is the message that you want to bring to the hearts of people this year? What are you trying to say with your gifts? These men had a message to say. And Mary and Joseph got the message. The message was, this child that you have is incredibly, incredibly important. It's so important, we've left our lands in the east. We've put these camels on and we've taken a long walk and we've come to your house. And we're bringing these gifts to you because this child is significantly important. They chose that road. It wasn't their own kingdom. They didn't even see their own king's child. They left their kingdom to come to another kingdom to lay gifts at the feet of the newborn king. That's pretty amazing. Let's look at a couple other passages. I didn't have them put these in, or they might have. We'll see. Matthew, I believe is the next one. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. I love to hear the words, the word of God being turned. That's really cool. I don't hear that often. Matthew 5, verse 23, it says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and therefore remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. One of the things that really needs to be in our hearts is our hearts need to be pure before we give our gifts. Okay? We need to be pure in our heart. We need to, if you got sin in your life, get rid of the sin in your life before you give an offering to God. But I'm also going to tell you, get your life right with your neighbor before you start giving gifts to your neighbor. And when you give a gift, is your purpose to get something out of it? That's not the plan. That's not the plan. You don't give a gift to gain something back, some respect or some thoughts or I want to, you know, you give a gift with a heart that's righteous. And you give gifts that help people along the way. You think about your gifts a bit more. And I know what our kids want. I know what my kids want. It's all kinds of things that my kids want. My son has a big list. Son is 14. He has a big list of things that he wants. It used to be easy. You know, when they were two or three, it was easy. You just walk down the aisle and they'd all, whatever they went to, is like, okay, we found what they want for Christmas. It's not so easy now when I have a daughter who's 22, I'm going to have a baby, and I have a daughter who's 23, and I have a daughter who turns 18 in a couple days, those gifts are different for them. But when we give gifts, and especially when we give gifts to God, we need to have our heart right. Set our heart in righteousness. Allow us to be forgiven in Christ. Allow our and don't let those seeds of bitterness be in there. I mean, there's things that we should set our hearts right about, and that's what that little passage is about. Now, in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, it says your gifts are to honor the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, your vats will brim over with new wine. We're to honor God when we give a gift. I don't know if you've thought about it recently or where you're at, but you know there was a widow who walked into a temple and she put two coins in the offering, and Jesus blessed that more than any other offering that was put in. So what you give to the Lord, give with this heart. Give in a way that it just has that righteous ring to it. Sometimes we give out our wealth. Sometimes we give, you know, we have so much and it's like, I'll just put it this way. I get stuff at church all the time. I've been pastoring at Santa Monica's church for 12 years. I can't tell you how many TVs that I've gotten at church. Okay? All of them are missing buttons. Okay? Some of them, when you turn them on, they do this. Really? When you give to God, give the best. Give. Yeah, it's not your cast off. It's not that leftover stuff. It's that, oh, I used it. It was great. Here you go. There's an attitude in that really should go away. And the attitude in that really should go away is, hey, you loved yourself more than you loved God. Honestly. Because you used it up before you gave it. And just think about that. Now, I know that we want to reuse stuff. We want to have a second use for something. But I have a method in Santa Monica for recycling. I put it on the curb. I don't care what it is. If I put it on the curb, it disappears within a couple days. And honestly, if it didn't disappear in a couple days, it shouldn't have been on the curb. It should have been in the trash can. Okay? It really... When you give to the Lord, give your best. When you give to your wife, give your best. When you give to your children, give your best. You really want to make your wife happy? When you give to your mother-in-law, give your best. Okay? Give your best. Second best gifts are known for being second best. When those guys came to Jesus as he was born and they gave those gifts, they gave their best. It took effort to do it, and it took time to do it, and they gave their absolute best. Now, we're supposed to do our gifts in secret. And I'm going to share a story in a little bit that wasn't done in secret, but sometimes we do it in secret so one person doesn't know, but everybody else does. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, I've tried this. Here's my left hand. Here's my right hand. I know that my left hand knows what my right hand is doing. It always knows what my right hand is doing. The point of the scripture isn't that people don't know. The point is that you don't make it known. If you give a great gift, why does everybody need to know? Because if you're making it known, you have officially said, I need to feel good about giving this gift to you. Is that your purpose in giving? I need to feel good? I need to make sure that I feel great? That's not how we give. We give so that they feel great. I got a card yesterday, and I did something I didn't intend to do. But I did something that really impacted somebody yesterday. I teach school. You know that I teach school, and it's what I do full time. And we have these things called IEP meetings. It's meetings for students that are handicapped and are struggling and they're not doing well. And I have a girl in my class who's not doing well. But there's a lady at our school that has been spending countless hours with this child. I've seen it. I've seen the hours that she spent. I walk by her office. I'm leaving. 3 o'clock, I'm out of school. I'm not staying. I get there at 6, I'm gone at 3. Unless you've got something you really need me there, I'm gone at 3. But now I'm doing assistant athletic director, I'm there after 3. Sometimes I'm there till 5:30. This lady's in her office with this child from 3 to 5:30 doing her homework with her. Spending time teaching her multiplication. She doesn't know her multiplication. She's in ninth grade, doesn't know her multiplication tables. Teaching her these things, she spent time and time and time and time. We get into this meeting, and they're all talking about, you know, what we could do to help her, what's going on. And I said, and they're going, and what happened is this child is coming to class late now. I have her first period. She's coming into my class late. She's coming into my class late because she's going to this lady's room. Why is she going to that lady's room? Because that lady loves her. She needs to feel loved in the morning when she gets to school. Now, she needs to come to class on time. But this whole group started chastising this lady. And I went, excuse me. I've seen the love that she's given to this young girl. I've seen it. Leave her alone. Yes, we'll talk to the child. The child needs to come to class on time. But don't chastise the one that gave the gift. I didn't get that. Well, I got a letter yesterday from this lady. She had been beat up all week. People had accused her of bullying. They've accused her of doing this, accused her of doing that. And then I came in and defended her. So she wrote me this nice long letter. It's sweet. It wasn't my intention. My intention, I just saw what was wonderful and wanted to support what was wonderful. You know, that didn't cost me anything. It didn't cost me a dime to say good words about somebody. It didn't cost me anything. And boy, it made her feel good. And I think that gift was precious. It was precious to her because she wrote me and told me. But we make those kind of gifts choices all the time. In 2 Corinthians, there's a couple other passages I want to share about giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and then there's another one in chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 through 15. Verse 10 says, and here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Paul is appreciating this church that gave. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is accessible according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. Catch that word, equality. God really wants equality in our world. He really wants, if you have more, to give to others that don't have as much. I don't know if you've had the experience of being in poor countries. And some of you have. But I still remember the days going down to Mexico and visiting folks that were in Mexico and those kids running out of those houses that didn't have floors, didn't have windows, and didn't have a bathroom. Well, I've got all those things. We need to share that others may have. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. As it is written, he who gathered who did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. And there's this next passage, and it talks about having a balance in our giving. And in the chapter 9, verses 6 through 9, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a what kind of giver? It's not...
Go ahead. There's nothing in this one.
But when we give generously, if we can, it's modeled. And it does this. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. You know, when we give, it produces giving in others. If somebody gives you a gift, what's the immediate thing you want to do? You want to give back.
I mean, we even make lists, okay?
My Korean pastor gave me a coat, okay? Gave me a coat. I am still looking for a gift to give my Korean pastor. He gave me a coat. I'm like, oh, I don't necessarily have the money to go out and find a coat, okay? But I need to give a gift for my, because he gave, I feel like I need to give. And when we give, people feel like they need to give. And that's part of giving. Part of giving is promoting giving, promoting that process in our lives, promoting the gift to others. And by the way, there is a great gift. In Romans 6:23,
somebody knows this. Somebody knows this. Come on, you know it. You don't even have to look.
For the wages of sin is death.
But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay. How many of you have Christmas trees up at the home? Anybody? A couple? Not many yet, okay? Y'all be shopping for trees later. You may or may not do a Christmas tree. That's not important. But how many of you have gifts wrapped up at home ready for Christmas? Anybody? I'm all by myself. My daughter is Christmas nuts, okay? My oldest daughter is Christmas nuts. She has bought all the gifts for the whole house, and they are under the tree as we speak, okay? So the gifts are under the tree. Got a question for you. Have I received my gift from my daughter yet? It's there under the tree, but I've not received it, have I? When do I receive the gift? When I take it, when she gives it to me, and when I open it. Okay? We've all received the free gift of God. That free gift of God is Jesus. Have you opened the present? Have you opened the gift of God? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? Have you
Have you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin? Have you opened the gift of God that is inviting Jesus into your heart, making him Lord and Savior of your life? I hope that you all have, every one of you. I spent 13 years in the Catholic Church. I was baptized, confessed, and confirmed in the Catholic Church. Did I accept the gift of God in the Catholic Church? Didn't happen. I got to tell you, at 13, when I'm confirmed, they asked the right question. When I was confirmed, they got that guy with the funny cane and the big hat, and he's over there. It's true, he's over there. Okay? And my parents are over there, and I'm stuck in the middle here. Okay? And he says, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and have you invited him into your heart? Okay? Guess what I said? Of course. He's there. My parents are there. Did I believe? No. At 13, I didn't believe God existed. I'm a science guy. Okay? I had a whole list of things that didn't have God, and I didn't believe God existed. I didn't come to Christ till I was 21. Just because I got the gift and they offered me the gift doesn't mean I opened it. And this morning I ask you, have you opened the gift that God gave you? Have you invited Jesus into your heart? Have you made him Lord and Savior of your life? If you haven't and you want to, see me before you leave today. See me before you go. Don't let another day pass where you have not opened that gift. It's a really cool gift. It's a really, really cool gift. It won't cost you anything. It did cost Jesus his life. I'll share a story with you before I leave. And I love this story. You may have heard it before. But this is a gift. And this was a gift that didn't cost these folks anything, but it was a precious gift. There was a father, and he was speaking at a conference, and the father had a handicapped son. And the father said, I believe that when a child like Shay, physically and mentally handicapped, comes into the world, an opportunity to realize true human nature presents itself. And it comes in the way other people treat that child. And he told the following story. Shay and his father had walked past a park with some boys Shay knew were playing baseball. Shay asked, do you think they'll let me play? Shay's father knew that most of the boys would not want someone like Shay on their team. But the father also understood that if his son were allowed to play, it would give him a much-needed sense of belonging and some confidence to be accepted by others in spite of his handicaps. Shay's father approached one of the boys on the field and asked if Shay could play, not expecting much. The boy looked around for guidance and said, we're losing by 6 runs. The game's in the 8th inning. I guess he could be on our team. We'll try to put him into bat in the 9th. That was a gift. Did he have to do that? And he looked around. He said, what's a what? But it still was a gift. The gift gets better. Shay struggled over to the team's bench, put on a team shirt with a broad smile, and his father had a small tear in his eye and warmth in his heart. The boys saw the father's joy at his son being accepted. In the bottom of the 8th inning, Shay's team scored a few runs, but was still behind by 3. In the top of the 9th inning, Shay put on a glove and played in right field. I've played a lot of right field. The reason we play right field is nothing's coming out there. Even though no hits came his way, he was obviously ecstatic just to be in the game and on the field, grinning from ear to ear as his father waved him from the stands. In the bottom of the 9th inning, Shay's team scored again. Now with 2 outs and the bases loaded, the potential winning run was on base, and Shay was scheduled to be next at bat. Here's a glory opportunity. This is the opportunity. This is the moment. At this juncture, do they let Shay bat, give him their chance to win the game? Surprisingly, Shay was given the bat. Everyone knew that a hit was all but impossible because Shay didn't even know how to hold the bat properly, much less connect with the ball. However, As Shea stepped up to the plate, the pitcher, recognizing the other team putting winning aside for his moment in Shea's life, moved in a few steps to lob the ball in softly so Shea could at least be able to make contact. The first pitch came and Shea swung clumsily and missed. The pitcher again took a few steps forward, tossed the ball softly towards Shea. As the pitch came in, Shea swung at the bat and hit a slow ground ball back right to the pitcher. The game would be over now. But the pitcher picked up the soft grounder and could have easily thrown the ball to the first baseman. Shea would have been out, and that would have been the end of the game. Instead, moment of brilliance, the pitcher threw the ball right over the head of the first baseman, out of reach of all of his teammates. Everyone from the stands and both teams started yelling, "Shea, run to first! Run to first!" Pointing, you know, all that stuff, okay? Never in his life had Shea ever ran that far, but he made it to first base. He scrambled down the baseline, wide-eyed and startled. Everyone yelled, "Run to second! Run to second!" Catching his breath, Shea awkwardly ran towards second, gleaming and struggling to make it to second base. By the time Shea rounded towards second base, the right fielder had the ball, the smallest guy on their team, who had a chance to be the hero for his team for the first time. He could have thrown the ball to the second baseman for the tag, but he understood the pitcher's intentions, and he too intentionally threw the ball high and far over the third baseman's head. Shea ran toward third base deliriously as the runners ahead him circled the bases towards home. All were screaming, "Shea, Shea, Shea, all the way, Shea!" Shea reached third base. The opposing shortstop ran to help him and turned him in the direction of the base. Over there! Shea ran to third. As Shea rounded third, the boys from both teams and those watching were on their feet and screaming, "Shea, run home!" Shea ran to home, stepped on the plate, and was cheered as the hero who hit the grand slam and won the game for his team. What a gift. What a gift. What did it cost him? Grand scheme of life, it didn't cost him anything, did it? I mean, one team lost the game. Did they care? Later that day, what would they be talking about? They'd be talking about this moment for a long time. And it's a good moment. No game should ever be more important than people. I don't even care if it's professional. No game should be more important than people. "That day," said the father softly with tears now rolling down his face, "the boys from both teams helped bring a piece of true love and humanity into this world." Shea didn't make it to another summer and died that winter. Having never forgotten being the hero and making his father so happy and coming home and seeing his mother tearfully embrace her little hero of the day. I'm just touched by it. It's hard to read. It's hard to keep in. It's that place. But as you give gifts this year, as you celebrate the Christmas season, as you celebrate the gift that God gave you, give gifts that make impacts like this, that truly change people's lives in ways that they could never imagine. And if you're going to give a great big gift, don't tell them it came from you. Don't let them know it came from you. That'll just mess them up for a year. Truly, we'll mess them up for a year. They'll never know what happened. And you'll get to watch it for the whole year. Okay, and later on, if you want to let that secret out, great, let that secret out. But my point in all of this is, as we give gifts because Jesus came into our lives, and as we give gifts to other people, and we share with other people that great gift that's been given to us, may we give gifts to others that truly impress them along the way. Those gifts don't have to be expensive. They don't have to be big deals. They might, just because it's where our hearts can be. But make them make a difference in the lives of the people you give them to. It's a great season. Enough said. That's for me. Blessings to you. And as they say, Merry Christmas.